So I saw that one very great improvement was made to our Shravan Kirtan camp. I'm just wondering how you managed to get up there. There's a door behind? I see. Ramakrishna is a very good name. But at least one person who it's connected with, we'd rather not think about. At least one person who that name is connected with, we would rather not think about. Otherwise, Ramakrishna, that shabd, that sound, those words come in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that? Hantaya Madhirabala Haridasa Varyo Yang Rama Krishna Charanasparasa Pramodaha. That verse comes that Govardhan is the best of the devotees of Lord Hari. And feels very pleased because Rama and Krishna, namely Balaram and Krishna, place their lotus feet on Govardhan. So Govardhan feels very pleased at the touch of the lotus feet. So we are interested in the real Ramakrishna. So that's a very good improvement that you made. Thank you very much. One thing I can think of that this Ramakrishna, whose picture is now covered up, is better at than some of our devotees. One aspect of him is better than some of our devotees. He's not dressed in jeans and t-shirts. So, at these Shravan Kirtan camps, as far as possible, we encourage everyone to dress in what we can call traditional Vaishnava dress. Gaura Bhakata, what is that? Gaura Bhakata Priyavesha Dadhana. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about wearing the kind of clothing that is dear to the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Shravan Kirtan means Gaura Vihita Shravan, and Gaura Vihita Kirtan means the kind of hearing and chanting that is approved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should, as Srila Prabhupada has stated in his purports to Srimad Bhagavatam, we should sing authorized songs. That means that which is given by the acharyas. I'm specifically mentioning this because some of our young Vaishnavas were singing Suswagatam Krishna. Which is not within the corpus of songs or chants given by our bona fide Vaishnava acharyas. The history of this, so I'm told, is that a few years ago, someone brought out some commercial cassette came out with Suswagatam Ganesh. So it's an invented chant for some demigod, which has been copied by our imaginative devotees and altered for Krishna. Now I'm told that this appears in one of our Telugu songbooks. That doesn't mean that it's an authorized chant by an authorized acharya. Just like many years ago, when the first edition of the Vaishnava songbook was made by Achyutananda Swami, he changed the Shastric verse for the Pranam Mantra too. I don't know if he did it or the BBT editors did it or someone did it. From Vishnu Bhakti Pradeya Devi to Krishna Bhakti. And ever since, people have been chanting Krishna Bhakti, which is not what Vyasadeva gave. No, we can't blame him. It may have been done by one of them. So that confusion is going on up to the present day. You may think, well, better to say Krishna Bhakti than Vishnu Bhakti. But it's better not to try to be more intelligent than Vyasadeva. Vishnu is also a name for Krishna. Vishnu is also a name of Krishna. Namo Deva Damodar Ananta. So there you go. Proof. Vishnu is also a name for Krishna. Okay, now I want to read one verse from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 55. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Prajahati Yada Kaman Sarvan Partha Manogatan Atman Yevatmana Tushta Stitha Dhiya. What is it? Stitha Dhiya Muni Ruchate. Stitha Pragyas Tadochate. That's right. This description of a person who is fixed in transcendental consciousness is given by Krishna in reply to a question by Arjuna. Now, one of the qualities of a self-realized person that is mentioned here by Krishna is Atmanyevatmana Tushtaha. He is himself satisfied within himself, by himself. Why he's satisfied? Well, that's discussed elsewhere throughout Bhagavad Gita. There are descriptions of the self-realized person, how he is satisfied. Na shochati, na kangshati. He does not lament for that which has passed, and he does not hanker to gain anything in future. because he is Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. He's fully satisfied on the spiritual platform. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, we have descriptions of the person who is a balanced person. He sees everything in a very balanced way. And in this way, he's neither attached to anything. He's not attached to anything, nor is he not attached, nor is he attached to not doing his duty. He does his duty, but he's not attached. So one of the symptoms, a prominent symptom of a self-realized person is that he's satisfied. Therefore he's peaceful in his mind. As we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Taiva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakali Ashanta. So a devotee is peaceful because he has no material desires. He's not endeavoring to improve his material situation. However, he is endeavoring to improve his spiritual situation. We have heard of persons who are self-realized. They are, some people, they are advertised as being Brahmalin, merged into the spiritual state. So they're completely satisfied. Nothing to do, nothing to endeavor for. They realize everything in this world is temporary. Everything in this world is meaningless. But they are detached from all of this. And they're simply satisfied within the self. But a devotee is not like that. A devotee is satisfied in the sense that he has nothing to gain from this world. But nevertheless, he is always striving in devotional service. So a devotee is discontent. That is called divine discontent. That English phrase, divine discontent, was coined by or used by Srila B. R. Sridhar Maharaj, one of Srila Prabhupada's god brothers. Guru Brata, you could say. We don't say any such thing. Guru Bhai, you're saying North India. Okay. So, and he particularly applied this term to the state of Gopakumara. Mm-hmm. Gopakumara is described in the Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita compiled by Srila Sanatan Goswami. Gopakumara was a Gopakumar. That was his name, and he actually was a young boy of the cowherding community. And he herded cows at Govardhan. And then he met his guru. His guru gave him a mantra. And by chanting this mantra, Gopakumar advanced in devotional service. Actually, there are two divisions to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And they both describe in different ways the various levels of devotional service to Krishna. Anyway, by the power of his mantra, Gopakumar was able to go and be in various different situations in devotional service. He was able to associate with different devotees in different parts of the universe. So gradually he went up to the heavenly planets. I'm just saying it in brief now. And there he was with the demigods and Indra. They're able to personally associate with Vamandev. So he felt very satisfied. And after some time he was made Indra himself. He himself became Indra. He was very satisfied, but after some time he felt some dissatisfaction. All this business of being Indra, I can't concentrate fully on bhakti. So in this way he went by stage to different parts of the universe. He joined the Kumaras, the four Kumaras who are meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he went to the planet of Lord Brahma. He went to the planet of Lord Shiva. But wherever he went, he wasn't interested in anything else but bhakti to Vishnu. So even though he went to the planet of Lord Brahma, he was only interested in how Brahma and the inhabitants of that planet are worshipping the Supreme Lord. But wherever he went, he felt something is... There's nothing wrong with the way these people are worshipping Vishnu, but in my heart, I don't feel fully content. So ultimately, not ultimately, but eventually, he went directly to Vaikuntha. He was in the spiritual world. And even when he went, you see in Vaikuntha, all the inhabitants are dressed in like royal dress. But Gopakumar, even there, he said, well, I don't really like that kind of dress. He said that I like, you see, I'm a cowherd boy, and I like to dress like this. So even in Vaikuntha, you have to allow me to dress like this. So the residents of Vaikuntha, they were happy to receive him. But they thought he was a bit unusual. And even the way he spoke to the way Gopakumar talked about Bhagawan, the Vaikuntha Vasis, they couldn't really relate to it. It was like too friendly or too intimate. So eventually they said, okay, now we're going to bring you into the presence of Lord Vishnu. But they warned him, you see, you have to be on very good behavior. You have to bow down and be very respectful. None of this friendliness. And Gopakumar said, well, if I see him, I want to embrace him. He's my friend. But the Vaikuntavasi said, no way, you're not allowed. So anyway, he was brought into the presence of Lord Vishnu. And seeing that beautiful, blackish, divine form, Gopakumar forgot all about what he'd been told. And he immediately ran to embrace Vishnu. And he was stopped by the guards. Sorry, I forgot. So even in Vaikuntha he wasn't fully satisfied. Even in Ayodhya, in the presence of Lord Rama, he still felt there's something. Everything's right, everything's proper, but still my heart is not fully content. So eventually he got promoted to Dwaraka, and he thought, this is it, this is perfect. Krishna's here, two-handed form, this is perfect. But after some time he found that the mood there, even there, didn't fully satisfy his heart. See, his cowherd dress was not the proper dress in Dwaraka either. So eventually he went to Golok Vrindavan. And then he met Krishna. And Krishna fainted when he saw Gopakumar. Because Krishna thought, my friend, I didn't see him for such a long time, now he's come. But the Vrajavasis, they were very angry with Gopakumar. What did you do? You made him faint. So in this way, Gopakumar, with divine discontent, he went on and on and on and on till he found the situation of his ultimate happiness in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So We also have a mantra that will take us all the way to the lotus feet of Krishna in Vrindavan. And you all know very well what that mantra is. So we can all say it now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of course, unfortunately, not all of us have that hankering that Gopa Kumar had to achieve the association of Krishna. He wasn't even sure what he wanted. But when he got what he wanted, then he knew what he wanted. But in one sense, devotees are always happy in devotional service. Actually, devotees are happy. You might be a bit tired after coming here. There may be various inconveniences. But actually devotees are happy in the service of Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings one whole song, well, actually several songs, expressing his happiness in devotional service. What is that? Atmanivedana tuapade kare hoino paramashuki. Dukha dure gelo. Dukha dure gelo. Chintana rahilo. Chodike ananda deki. He says that now I have fully surrendered myself at your lotus feet. I've become supremely happy. All my distress has gone far away. I have no more anxiety. And everywhere I simply see happiness. So there are many songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Thakur expressing his happiness in devotional service, or at least several songs. Jedina grihe bhajana deke grihe te goloka bhai, says when I'm worshipping the deity in my home, I see my home has turned into golok. Bhakati Vinod Krishna Bhajane Anukul Paijaha Pratidi Boshe Parama Shuki Shuke Shikara Koryetaha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that whatever is favorable to devotional service, he accepts in every day of, very happily accepts in every day of his life. So it's a fact. Devotional service is naturally happy, a happy undertaking. But at the same time, a devotee should not be complacent. Complacent means to think, yeah, everything's okay, I don't have to do anything more. Everything's nice. Someone just turned these fans on. Could they be turned off? You can turn these lights off also. There's no need to have these lights on. Yeah. Did you translate about complacent? Okay. A devotee should never think, I have done enough for Krishna. Devotees should always think, I have to do more for Krishna. A devotee doesn't think, yeah, well, I'm a pure devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings that Amar Jivan Sada Pape Rata Nahika Punyara Lesh, that in my whole life I've always been attached to sinful activities. There's not even a slight bit of piety within me. So a devotee on one hand is very happy in devotional service, but on the other hand, he feels divine discontent. If there's even a slight reflection of any material contamination within the devotee's heart, he feels, I am a very great sinner, very impure. Turn these lights off. You turn the lights off. Unnecessarily wasting Krishna's energy, having lights on when they're not necessary. And even if a devotee is doing lots of devotional service, he wants to do more. So cultivation, Hare Krishna, cultivation of this divine discontent is the way to always be advancing in devotional service. You see, the person who is absorbed in Brahman realization, he thinks, well, that's it. I'm Brahman realized and there's nothing more to do. I'm perfect. But in Krishna consciousness, there's always more to do. Krishna is unlimited. And Krishna can be served in unlimited ways. And therefore, a devotee is always thinking how to serve Krishna better. Now, of course, Krishna, he himself is always fully satisfied. He is Atmarama, which means he takes pleasure in himself. Krishna himself is the best example of Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta. He's fully satisfied in himself. He's apta kama, all his desires are fulfilled. But by Krishna's pleasure potency, his happiness is always increasing. That's technically called the Haladini Shakti. So the devotee can never think, okay, everything under control, everything perfect. Now we are serving Krishna perfectly. See, we feed him on time every day. Nice offerings. We dress him very properly every day, everything very punctual, clean, everything's nice, everything's perfect. Even if someone is serving Krishna to the highest standard we can imagine, a real devotee will always imagine how he can serve Krishna more. Even if technically everything is done perfectly, the devotee thinks, I should do it with more devotion. There's unlimited service to do to Krishna. Although Krishna is fully satisfied in himself, he accepts service from the unlimited number of devotees, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda. So we needn't think that, well, already so many people are serving Krishna, so why should I bother? Krishna will be more pleased if we serve him. Krishna is served by all the residents of Vrindavan. They're all great pure devotees, eternal associates of Krishna. So you may think, well, how can we serve Krishna? But Krishna is kind enough to accept our service even though he doesn't need it. And he actually takes pleasure in our serving him. When we chant the holy names of Krishna, Krishna is pleased. When we offer a lamp to Krishna, Krishna is pleased. Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palang Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Upaharitam Ashnami Prayatmanaha. He doesn't say, come, what are you useless people just offering me a flower? Don't you know who I am? I'm God. If you go to some big shot person and you meet them and you just give them a flower, I said, what's that? They should give me something more than a flower. But if it's actually offered with love, then Krishna is very pleased to accept it, even from the most apparently insignificant of his servants. So, Krishna is ready to accept what we offer to him. Even some insignificant flower. But if a devotee thinks how to offer more and more to Krishna. Devotee, he wants to offer the whole world to Krishna. That is fitting because everything in the world belongs to Krishna. So the devotee is very busy preaching Krishna consciousness within this world. Just to remind people that they are meant to serve Krishna. So a devotee may preach very nicely and very effectively. and bring many people to devotional service. And that is very pleasing to Krishna. But the devotee, although he's pleased that people have come to Krishna, in another sense he's displeased also. Because the devotee sees that so many other people have not taken to Krishna consciousness. So in this way a devotee is discontent. This Prahlad Maharaj expressed exactly this sentiment. Naivodvijay paraduryatya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta shocheta to vimokacheta sa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimurha. Do you know that verse? Anyway, the purport is that Prahlad is speaking to Nrisimhadev. And Prahlad said, I'm very happy. Even when I was being tortured by my father, I was very happy. Because whatever happens in the world, I think of you. I'm not afraid of material existence, Prahlad said. Because my consciousness is always absorbed in thoughts of your majesty. And in praising you. So I'm happy, Prahlad said. But still, I'm unhappy also. Seeing so many people who are absorbed in this illusion. Who are inimical to you. Who are simply interested in sense gratification. Who take this illusory happiness to be actual happiness. Prahlad said, I feel discontent on seeing their situation. So a devotee in one sense is always satisfied. Because he's not attached to this material world. There's nothing, it feels no desire to gain anything from this material world. To have any position in this material world. He just doesn't feel part of this material world at all, which he's not. But in this way, a devotee, by being detached from this world, is fully satisfied. Because dissatisfaction arises from material attachment. But a devotee also has discontent, and that springs from spiritual attachment. A devotee thinks, I could not serve Krishna properly. So a devotee should always strive to do better. Strive to do better means attempt. attempt assiduously. Devotee doesn't think, yeah, I'm doing okay. So many times people ask, how are you? How should we answer? What is that? Jaghai madhai hoite muise papishta purishe kito hoite muise logishta jemora nam shune tara punna koi jemora nam loi tara papa hoi. Which means that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami introduces himself as being more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. And he feels himself to be less significant than a worm in stew. And he feels that if anyone hears, just happens to hear my name, then all his pious activities become diminished. And he feels that if anyone pronounces my name, then simply by doing so, that person becomes sinful. You can just see how humble is a Vaishnava. He feels, I have so far to go in devotional service. And he always strives to bring other people to devotional service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So you're all happy chanting Hare Krishna? To translate that, because no one, you see, not everyone understands. I asked a question. Well, you all sound very happy. So, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But I guess you could consider also to chant Hare Krishna and be unhappy. Not exactly unhappy. But a devotee should never be fully content. This divine discontent should be cultivated by devotees. Yeah, all right. Hare Krishna. Alright, that's all for now, and 4:30 we'll convene again for Harinama Sankirtan. Goloka Prema Dhan, Harinama Sankirtan.